him. He's the man to do the damage. Oh! Oh! As he looks for another headshot! Oh!
So it's time to Prem Review. As always, for the format of the show, I pick out five things to talk about. I watched loads of football over the weekend, and I got to see loads of good games. However, the first game I watched this weekend is the first one I'm going to talk about, and it was not a good game. It was, in fact, a dog shit game. But let's start by talking about Manchester United and the continued improvement under Ten Hag. And they took on Southampton. The game was dour. The game was attritional. The game was not a lot of fun to watch at all. But some things right from the get-go were clear that actually Ten Hag, he set his stall out now. And Cristiano Ronaldo didn't start. He was on the bench again. Harry Maguire didn't start. He's on the bench again. Ten Hag said in an interview in the build-up to this game, just because Harry Maguire is captain does not mean he's guaranteed to play. And that's when I fell in love with the beautiful bald man. I just want to take him and just give him a big smackaroo right on the lips, because that's exactly the type of thing you should be saying. Harry Maguire is a fucking fraud. It's actually unreal how much of a fraud Harry Maguire is the more and more I think about it. Should never have been captain. Massively overpriced. Not got the pace for the Prem. Not got the positional awareness for the Prem. I actually said, I think in the first episode I was doing this, I actually said, you know what, like, he should be playing in the bottom half of the Prem. I think he gets skinned in the Championship, even though the Championship's particularly bad at the moment. So anyway, to say that, it needs to be said, Harry Maguire needs a dose of reality. You need to get in the gym, lad. You know, you need to be doing what they call them plyometrics, where you stretch out your creamy hamstrings and actually get some pace. You need to learn how to hold a fucking defensive line. So Ten Hag doing that, and also the continued acceptance that Fernandes and Ronaldo is not going to work in a Manchester United team, and Ronaldo doesn't even want to fucking be there anyway. Yes, keep Ronaldo on the bench, use him for impact. Hopefully they get to offload him before the window closes. Maybe it's us Baldies have got to stick together. Maybe suddenly out of nowhere I'm a secret United fan. Who knows? That's never going to happen. But at the end of the day, I like Ten Hag. I've always liked Ajax as a club. I think Ajax is, by the way, if you're any club in the world, you want to aspire to what Ajax does and consistently does. I've been in love with Ajax ever since I saw their incredible youth team essentially win a European Cup. I can't remember what year it was. I want to say like maybe 92, 93. But that was the one that had like Kluivert, David, Seedorf, Van der Sar, Overmars. Like, you know, and when you started learning about all the things they were doing, Ajax has always been a secret team that I love deep down inside. 95, thank you in the chat. I love Ten Hag. I love what he's doing. I love what he's saying. But I did not love this performance from United. And it really shows there is a long, long way to go. One victory against Liverpool a season does not make, because this was a horrible game. United could not get into it. In fact, I want to say probably Southampton were the better team. They generated more chances. It just turns out they couldn't hit a cow's ass with a banjo. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's try and focus on some positives for United. I think Fernandes got his first goal of the season. It was a beauty. He sort of scuffed it. Maybe he meant to scuff it to take some sting off the ball. Maybe he didn't. Regardless, great flowing move. Fernandes got a goal. You thought the game might open up, but it didn't. Here's the real positive. It is Martinez. Without Maguire fucking up your shit, like Candyman, if you say his name in the fucking mirror, you've got Martinez and Varane. They look like an actual European caliber pairing. Like, they look so good together right now. And when you're looking at other defenders that are like coming in around them, coming into the team, you know, Malacia played again today, it actually just looks like a cohesive, solid back four. Keep in mind, Southampton still generated chances, but I would love to see the number of tackles made in the box and around the box by United. They just lacked an outlet going forward. And here's the issue with that. McTominay, I feel sick. It hurts. Like, listen, love him, bless him. He's like the dog at the beach. chasing one of them balls, isn't he? Like, he's got an engine on him. He does run. He does work hard. Fair enough. He's just got no quality going forward. He got back and made some really important challenges at times. It wasn't a horror show performance by any stretch of the imagination. But put it this way, it was that bad. At one point on Twitter during this game, McTalentless was the hashtag that trended. He's just not got the quality to play for a team like United. And you know, you can have all the heart in the world, this is the Prem, it's the best league in world football. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it, and he ain't got it. And so he was a problem. You do have to feel he's going to be the guy to make way for Casemiro eventually. And Casemiro actually came on and made his debut, and immediately, like, you know, you win a Champions League like fucking five times, you obviously got something about you. A lot was made about him coming for the paycheck. He is. He's massively overpaid. They've massively overpaid for him. They're massively overpaying him. But you know what? In terms of his quality, he helped them see out a game that could have, like, really fucking gone awry. Southampton could have stole away a goal in the last few minutes, but Casemiro came on, just had some beautiful touches, really showed his caliber. And you have to feel, based on what you saw from United's midfield, Casemiro's going to go straight into the team next week. So look, over a course of a season, you are going to have games like this. You are going to have matches that are ugly, horrible to watch, attritional, grindy games. But if you come out and you win them, that's big high five. Southampton, they have got a lot of players that don't have a lot of Prem experience. They've really looked abroad, you know, try and pick up some value. And, it, you know, for me, I was pretty down on them when I was picking, like, my predictions overall and saying I think Southampton could actually get sucked in to the relegation battle, the upper ends of it. I don't know how I feel about that now. They do look to have some quality, but they need a quality striker. Shea Adams is not the man. Shea Adams had, like, I want to say 4 or 5 chances this game. Now, in the Prem, if you get 4 or 5 chances, well, you better put one away, or you're not a Prem, you know, you're not a top half of the table striker. And I felt really sorry for the midfield, Southampton's midfield, particularly Ward-Prowse, who put in a shift here. You know, like, Ward-Prowse, beautiful distribution, back tackling, you know, made some last-ditch tackles himself, shouldn't be his job. You know, they just looked like the midfield was pretty solid. They just didn't have a striker as an outlet. So, yeah, I, you know, Southampton might be okay, actually, in retrospect. But, you know, they need a goal scorer. Shea Adams is not going to get them enough goals to keep them out of trouble, I don't think, this season. Let's quickly move over to Fraud Watch. Because, obviously, as you know, Frank Lampard is a fraud. He is fraudulent. He should be investigated by Revenue and Customs, because every time he cashes his cheque and it says Football Manager on it, he's breaking the law. Everton were at it again. They were away to Brentford. I had Brentford winning this game, and Brentford should have won this game. Let's just start with that, actually. Brentford were so unlucky in this fucking game. Everton got a draw. It was 1-1, obviously. But real talk, like, there's no way. They used up, like, almost all of their season's luck to get a 1-1 draw away to Brentford. Brentford hit the woodwork 3 times in this game. They absolutely dominated possession. They nearly had 60%. They had 20 shots. Like, you know, that might be a high for them so far this season. And unfortunately, the ball just did not break for them. It was crazy. I, you know, some people were, like, raving about, like, Nathan Patterson for Everton. I just thought, like, okay, fair enough. But at the end of the day, I thought Brentford was super, super unlucky. They're going to be all right, Brentford. Now let's talk about Everton. Man alive, tactically, they just got nothing going on. They had to rely on just guts and determination and luck. Everyone's raving about Gordon. People are saying Gordon's going to go to Chelsea, that Everton are not going to turn down the 60 mil, and that actually they're going to take Broja in a part deal. That's the latest gossip at the time of recording this. I mean, put it this way, like, why is everyone jerking off about this kid? I don't get it. Like, I do not understand at all. When I was watching the game, the commentator went, lots of attention on Gordon, and that's why! Like, when he scored his goal, and it was just like a basic side-footed goal. It was just like what a Premier League striker should do if given that chance 2 or 3 times. Well done. And they were just raving about him. 60 mil for Gordon is insane. It's insane. Like, Everton have to take that money. Put it this way, there will never be a £60 million offer for that player ever again, especially by the end of this season, when, remember, I think they're going to get relegated. And then you have to offload him for pennies. So you've got to take the 60 mil. He's not... It's ridiculous. And then, after he got his goal, sort of in and out of the game, the people I thought stood out personally, obviously Patterson, I think he got man of the match. Awobi had another good game. As somebody even replied on the last episode of this, if you're relying on Awobi in your midfield, like, you are fucked. There was something like that. And it's like, listen, Awobi has become some sort of like functional box-to-box midfielder in an alternate reality. I don't know why we're here. But Awobi, like, had another really solid game. And as I said, he was going to be a good pickup. I think Connor Cody was instrumental in Everton on the occasions they went forward and put Brentford under pressure. I think Connor Cody was a really solid pickup, even though he's only there on loan. The rest of the players sort of meh. It's Everton, you know what I mean? You're not watching great football if you're watching Goodison. But, like, for real, Lampard did, like, an interview afterwards, and he was saying, Gordon, I'm super happy for him. He's playing at the highest level. It's his birthday. Like, it was just all wanking off about Gordon. It's like, are you selling him or not, homie? It was just really weird, and I feel like you've held on for dear life against Brentford, and you've got aspirations of, like, kicking up the league. I think, I honestly think I've pulled it from day one. I think Everton are down. Ian Wright said on Match of the Day, actually, he said, you can't sell Gordon. He said, Everton need to keep him. I'm like, I just think 60 mil does so much for this club right now. I think if you can buy 320 mil players, you significantly improve your squad. I mean, that's assuming it's all for reinvestment and not going into the debt hole. But, you know, you improve this squad so much with 320 mil caliber players over one theoretical 60 mil player who's being massively overrated because, for whatever reason, Chelsea want him, you know, which adds on about 20 mil to his actual value. So, yeah, I don't know. Lampard, you know, I don't even know if we can call it fraud watch at this moment in time. Yeah, I think it's just established he is a fraud. This whole team's got real problems. They need a real gaffer in there. Hard to believe, man. Do you remember when you had Ancelotti? Fucking hell. And they need to sell that kid for 60 mil and upgrade their squad and survive and rebuild. I'll tell you what, we'll get the Liverpool shit out the way. Liverpool 9-0 against Bournemouth. That's an easy one. We can just knock that out, right? Liverpool 9-0, equaling the record in the Prem. It was against Bournemouth. Listen, I'm not going to talk about Bournemouth too much. Probably won't have cause to talk about them very much this season. You want to talk about frauds? Come on, Scott Parker, homie. Come on, Scotty, mate. Like you said, after you got dusted by Arsenal, it was going to be like, you can't do that. We'll never let that happen again. We're going to go back to the training ground. We're going to brush up on the fucking fundamentals. And then your fucking defence was just dog shit. It's like people stood around. Inspire the troops, homie. I always thought, again, like Scotty Parker, obviously, soft spot for him as a Newcastle fan. But fuck me, dude. Like, they were worse, if anything, this week. I don't know what you did. Because I don't think Liverpool... I know this is an outrageous thing to claim. I don't think Liverpool were 9-0 good. I think Bournemouth were 9-0 bad. You know what I mean? And look, that's it. That's all there is to say about that. It was just an abysmal performance by them. The players gave up. When they were like 4-0 down again, staring into that abyss, they gave up. I mean, and that's what worries me. I thought Bournemouth... Like, it wasn't a particularly great championship season, like, when they come up. The fact that Forest and Bournemouth are up anyway, you know, in a better championship season, that wouldn't have happened. But, like, you know, Fulham were the clear, like, way best team in the championship. There's an argument Bournemouth are never going to... Like, this Bournemouth are never going to be Prem ready. But, like, you want your players to fucking try. You want your players to put in, like, some digs and put yourself about and get up for it. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, show me some fire. Like, get a red card. Like, whatever the fuck. Like, just show me you care. No, there was nobody playing for the shirt out there for Bournemouth. And that's, like, a real worry. Because if you're not up for a game against Liverpool, where you, like, when Liverpool have had the start to the season, they've started. If you don't want to pile on the misery, if you're not thinking, like, I'll make a fucking name for myself, let's go do it. Like, we already got one win against fucking Villa. Let's fucking get it. Let's have it. Let's fucking ruin these cunts' lives. Like, let's make Klopp cry. You know, if you're not fired up like that, fuck you. You know, and like, I don't think Parker's the man to inspire the troops. He's wishy-washy, he's insipid. He's from the Glen Rhoda School of Management. I got no truck with it. But anyway, let's talk about Liverpool. First of all, I hate the fact that Trent has bought himself another season of being worshipped by everyone because he scored an absolute banger goal in a 9-0 win, right? And the mad thing about it is the Trent goal was amazing, but he lost the ball. He lost the ball. Like, he lost the fucking ball. Like, the move comes from him losing the ball in centre midfield, and he just gets it back to him because Bournemouth are just shit, and then he just banged it in. Like, he just fucking banged it in from miles away. And then he put more effort into his fucking celebration than he did against United. And he just did that. He just did a shrug. Like, Trent Alexander-Arnold needs to fucking decide. Like, you can be a midfielder in a championship-winning team, or you can be a defender in a fucking team that's, like, top six. Your call. Because, like, you ain't got the fundamentals. It was a banging goal. But fuck Trent. He's still a liability. Who's the guy we really got to talk about? Obviously, let's talk about Carvalho making a big difference attacking. Obviously, Carvalho getting on the score sheet. Good news for him. But really, like, Firmino. Like, he just showed his absolute class. If you've been worried about the overall level of Liverpool and, like, what's going to happen, like, over the course of the season, you know, they're going to start getting players back now. They're going to start having a much stronger squad now. I think they're going to be okay. I never thought it was all over after the loss at United. It's like first five games of the season, it's a clusterfuck anyway at the best of times. And Firmino came back and just had an absolute godhead performance. 3 assists, 2 goals, living the dream. Just unbelievable. Like, for your fantasy points, just straight killing it. Bournemouth made it totally easy for him, sure. But there was, like, you know, everything. Like, everyone was up for this game. Everyone was motivated. Great attacking football. Crazy to think they had a 9-0 and Salah didn't even get an assist or a goal. And he missed some sitters. Which, you know, if you want to take a negative away from this game, which, by the way, everyone was wanking off about it, it's just a win over Bournemouth, guys. 9-0 don't really mean shit in the grand scheme of things. But Salah, he should have had 2. He had his chances, like, and he fluffed them. And he was laughing about it. Easy to laugh when you're 4 or 5 nil up, mate. But, you know, there's something for you to fucking percolate in your brain. But overall, Liverpool were just way, way the better team. Their season starts here. Let's see what they can do as they kick on up the league. The one I wanted to talk about, really, was Arsenal-Fulham. But I settled down for this game, and you know I've been loving Arsenal. Sweet, sweet Arsenal. And I usually don't. I know there's a couple of regulars that are like Arsenal fans around there, particularly some notable esports celebrities that I knock around with. Odie's always lurking in the chat. Davey's always hanging around. But, like, listen, Arsenal fans, I've got no, they're entitled arseholes. It's very hard to like them as a club. They've been over some fantastic players. They've been really cruel to them on the stands. They have this sense of entitlement that that rivals almost no other fan base in the league, except maybe United fans. And it's very easy to dislike them. Not this team. And not playing like this. They've got all the pretenders out, all of the deadwood. So they had Fulham at home. And what you saw on Saturday, what you saw there was a very different kind of Arsenal win, because they grinded out 2-1. I told you, Fulham are up for it this season and Fulham will stay up. Mitrovic, what a monster this game. The guy's an animal. Like, I mean, the effort and drive and passion. Where was that guy when he was at Newcastle? Because I never saw it. And I literally went to some games back then. Like, I never saw that motherfucker turn up like this. But Mitrovic got a goal. He was even back tackling in the box, putting people under pressure, just constantly tackling up high. And that's what Fulham do really well from a fucking tactical level. You know, like, Fulham are going to be okay because they can execute the high press where you start swarming on defenders. You don't let them settle. Remember, their goal came from Mitrovic pressuring Gabriel, winning the tackle against him, not giving up. And Mitrovic is doing that in this Fulham lineup. He huffs and he puffs. Fans love him. He's getting his goals. He's already got more goals in his return to the Prem than the last time he was here, where he only got 3. Also under Scott Parker, if memory serves me right. Fraudulent. But he is the tip of the spear for this Fulham team and does so, so much for them. That said, though, what was great about this Arsenal victory was, well, one thing. First of all, dominated possession again, 72%. I'm expecting that from Arsenal at home all season. 22 shots, loads on target, unbelievable performance. But let's start by talking about Odegaard. Odegaard just on some fucking gangster shit. Like, Odegaard, by the way, is playing like De Bruyne right now. Really, just the beating heart of this midfield. I raised my eyebrow when he was made captain, but nobody wants it more than him. And he's got some of the best feet right now in the Prem outside of Man City. unquestionable. Fulham was super hard to break down this game. They set their stall out. And the reason Arsenal was struggling is that Saka had an uncharacteristic bad game, particularly in his final ball delivery. Martinelli, his crossing was atrocious this game. And so when they were able to get into wide positions, a final ball wasn't coming. And so Odegaard, he had to do some dancing, do some magic to make it all happen. And in the end, you know, got the just rewards for that. Gabriel, you know, remember, he's not got Prem experience. He's coming from, you know, Brazil. And like, what he learned in this game is invaluable. He will never dally on the ball ever again in the Prem. You can't. There is a striker coming to tackle you in the Prem. It's not like Serie A. It's not like La Liga. It's definitely not like Brazilian football, where you've got all the time in the world to build from the back, and it's about passing play. You're not getting that in the Prem. You're going to have somebody like Mitrovic, who are like just a giant chest the size of a fridge, huffing and puffing and breathing down your neck. And Gabriel learned that the hard way, and it's a valuable lesson to learn. And it's just as well it didn't cost them 3 points. Because in the end, Gabriel went to go up, and for the first quality corner that they had all game, and I mean literally all game, look at the numbers, Martinelli's crossing was going straight at the keeper every time from the corners. Now, I would have took Martinelli and Saka off. I don't know why Arteta didn't, but whatever. Worked out well in the end. But Gabriel got his headed goal, full redemption. You could see how much it meant to him. That's like a foundational moment. Because I'll tell you, Arsenal lose this game last season. They would have capitulated under the pressure. I know Saka got an assist. Saliba got another one as well, I think. It was just really great. It was just a great all-round team performance. It showed that when they're under immense pressure, and all credit to Fulham for putting them under this type of pressure at home, Arsenal are a team, actually, they can get these results now. They can grind out. Fantastic performance from them. Let's talk quickly about the Wesley Fofana derby. Chelsea managed to beat Leicester City. And everyone was saying, right, okay, Chelsea's back. Nah, Chelsea's still got problems. They just don't have as many problems as Leicester. The Wesley Fofana deal for 70 fucking mil, like, is on, apparently. Fofana has been training with the under-23s because Brendan Rodgers is just like, I don't know, a bell end. And Fofana didn't play in this game. So you can assume it's almost 100% going on. And I said at the start of the season, and I'll say it throughout this season, Leicester City is so low on quality. There are like a handful of players they cannot allow to leave the club. And I think Fofana's one of them. I think he's been big for Leicester. Now, listen, I don't think he's 70 mil big, but it's Chelsea prices or whatever. He didn't play. And it made a difference. Chelsea had a lot of touches they shouldn't have got. Now, Leicester should have been able to turn the screw and get a result here. Because Chelsea had an unbelievably stupid sending off at 28 minutes. Like, Gallagher, what a disgrace. Like, swiped out, took away a player's legs for an obvious red yellow card. And then picked up a red card for a second yellow by doing the same when it was like Harvey Barnes was like breaking away. And there was no one ahead of him. And there was about four Chelsea defenders in cover. Like, the most needless, cynical foul ever in the history of the Prem. And I just don't understand why you've done it. Like, absolute nonsense. Like, it just shows how little confidence. I've been talking about Chelsea's mentality and how brittle they are. It shows Gallagher had no confidence. There's four defenders, for fuck's sake, covering Harvey Barnes. I think you're going to be okay. But there's no confidence from Gallagher in his own teammates. And so he's thought, well, I better eat the ready. And he's gone in for like just a ridiculous foul. They need to sort this shit out. Because on any other day, Chelsea don't pick up 3 points. But fortunately for them, today was Sterling Day. Yes, it was. You all hate Raheem Sterling for some reason. The British press hates Raheem Sterling for some reason. I don't hate Raheem Sterling. I think he's one of the finest players of his generation. And he continues to prove that. And he basically won him this game today. He had a fantastic first goal. Yes, he got a deflection. It would have troubled the keeper no matter what. He got a second goal with predatory instincts moving forward. And listen, Raheem Sterling, I know on his exit from City, everyone was like calling him out, saying his attitude stinks, saying he's an arsehole, saying this, saying that. Everyone gives Sterling a hard time. Sterling gave City everything. He gave Liverpool everything before that. He's picked up silverware everywhere he's been. He's here at Chelsea. He's got plenty of good years ahead of him. And he's got plenty of games like this ahead of him. Like, for me, like, just man of the match. People said he wasn't up for it in the last game. He, like, worked hard this game. He ran around. He made runs off the ball. He was, like, constantly looking at getting on the back of defenders and put Leicester under pressure. And at the end of the day, Chelsea haven't looked great this season. Another red card, more disciplinary issues. Sterling was the cool and collected presence they definitely needed. I want to say as well, you know, like, I don't understand the point of keeping Azpilicueta if he's not going to be a regular. And he was in the squad, so, you know, he was in the team. So that's a big difference for me. I thought Reece James was fantastic at a time when you've got Trent and Kyle Walker getting into England. What about a world where it's Reece James and Trippier as backup? Is that not better? Who knows? Maybe that's a controversial opinion. But I thought Reece James was absolutely fantastic. Azpilicueta, you know, is just quality personified, Mr. Chelsea. End of the day, they had just enough to beat Leicester. Why? Because Leicester are bad. Leicester are in for a bad season. Brendan Rodgers is the original fraud. He's the ultimate fraud. A literal fraud in every sense of the word. I can't believe that so many people are big on him. I've got to talk about Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy is so fucking washed, you know, right now. He should start advertising shampoo, this cunt. Like, it's just, he's 35. You know, he had a great run. We all love him. Jamie Vardy having a party, all of the memes, etc. But he had chances again this game. His finishing was off. He's lost not a half a yard, but maybe a quarter yard. He used to score against the top six for fun. And now he's not scored so far this season. He has got two assists. But he doesn't look like putting any of these chances away. He looks like having a real crisis of confidence. I think Vardy's, you know, going to be a problem because they're still going to play him and they're still going to rely on him. Tielemans was really, really good. Again, I think he's super important to what they need to do. I don't know what's happened to Iheanacho. I feel like Iheanacho was just scoring goals for fun last season and certainly doesn't seem to do that now. But look, at the end of the day, it's Leicester. They didn't sign any players. They didn't improve quality. They're selling Fofana. Who knows who else is going to go before the window shuts. I think they're going to get sucked into it, man. I really do. I think they got problems. But yeah, they should have still had a draw here. And Chelsea, not out of the woods for me. Last one, I want to talk about a game from today. I sat down to watch Newcastle play Wolverhampton Wanderers. This game shows that the standard of refereeing in the Prem is dog shit. What's worrying is it's dog shit even with VAR. We all go back and forth on VAR. I remember I was very, very big on VAR. I said that at the end of the day, it's used in other sports all around the world. I'd watch United get so many bullshit penalties down the years. Barthez being allowed to play fucking basketball. Like, all these like comically bad decisions all going one way because of just inherent human bias and intimidation factor of, like, you know, the big clubs always got away with more. That's just how it is. That's how it's always been in the Prem. So I thought VAR was going to be a fucking antidote to that, but it isn't an antidote to that. I'm seeing offside decisions given for like people's fucking like nose and like their fingers because they've put their hand out or they're leaning, and it's like, yeah, but their legs are behind the defender, like, and that's what they fucking run with, you know. Then they're not even consistently given, like the Rashford one where it's like, oh, apparently that's definitely on, but what about, why are you taking it from there and not his hand and not his chest like you do everybody else? So they're not even being fucking consistent with VAR. I saw the McTominay, you want to talk about playing basketball? Three handballs in the box, three. Like, you know, I didn't talk about it in the United game. Three handballs, like, really? Like, VAR looked at that and said, that's not a handball. Now listen, he couldn't have got out the way, but that hasn't been the standard for all the other handballs you've given this season. So Southampton should have had a pen. Like, the way they played, they would have skied it, but, you know, they should have had a pen. Fast forward to Wolverhampton Wanderers and Newcastle United today. Wolves fans can definitely feel fucking pissed off. Newcastle fans can feel pissed off. There's no good feeling coming out of this game. Newcastle, I can't remember who it was. There was a dodgy tackle. It was like a bit of a leg breaker. And Neves was right to be aggrieved about that after the game, which he said in his post-match interviews. We thought we'd gone 2-0 down because there was a push in the back. A two-handed push, and the ref let the play continue and had to go to VAR to fucking rule out the goal. But, like, you know, that was like a really long passage of play after the fact. People were running back. These things have consequences. If you're a ref and you can't see somebody doing that in someone's back is fucking bad, then, you know, whatever. Then, of course, we should have had a fucking penalty. There was a clear shirt pull. If you pull someone's shirt in the box, it's a penalty. That is the rule. It's not up for interpretation. There's no grey area. Shirt pulling is against the rules of football. If you do it in the box, it is a foul. If a foul occurs in the box, it is a fucking penalty. You know, this is not rocket science. Like, everyone should be able to do this. And, you know, to not check VAR, you're surrounded by fucking players telling you it happened. You're surrounded by sheepish defenders. Just go have a look. It's all you have to do. Didn't. So we could have had a pen today as well. Now, overall, standard refereeing in this game was fucking terrible. But moving forward over the course of the season, what this season has confirmed in my mind is VAR is actually not going to fix the problem of refs getting decisions right. Because unfortunately, when you do that, someone else gets to come to the party. Then it's all up to the ref's interpretation. Then you've still got all the intimidation factor. Do I give this decision? What did a ref give last week? And you know, is this a big club? What are the repercussions going to be? Am I going to get sent to the championship? And the bottom line is, like, we just need to raise the standard of refereeing. It's not even about VAR. Like, just having refs that, like, have a fucking brain and have the level of fitness to be able to keep up with fucking play. Like, I'd put it this way. I think at this stage, I'd rather have a second ref actually on the field than VAR. I actually think that would be a better solution, as crazy as it fucking sounds. Because they're going and they're looking at the screen, and you're watching a player go, boop, boop, I've got the ball in my hands. And they're, like, not giving penalties. Like, it's like they're watching a shirt in someone's hand, and they're not giving it away. Like, so I don't even know what the solution is. But you know, VAR it's just more money, more problems. Like, it really isn't. It's really fixed fuck all. And we've got the best league in the world with some of the worst refereeing in the world. Like, people all say, respect the refs, refs have a difficult job, players shouldn't insult refs, managers should get fined for insulting refs. Now, fuck that. Refs should do their job properly. That's where we're at right now. Like, motherfuckers are going to, like, get injured, get hurt, lose money, get relegated, have their entire careers subverted because you're going to let some, you know, fat balding prick who's 5 years over the hill huff and puff down the touchline because, you know, he's got tenure or something. Nah, enough's enough. Like, the refereeing in the Prem is dog shit. We can now talk about the game. Neves, oh my god, what a legend Neves is. I said at the start of the season, super important Wolves kept Neves. That was, like, as good as a signing for them. Everyone thought Neves was going to go. He was linked with a ton of teams. He was linked with United at one point. Neves is world class. Hands down man of the match here. His distribution of the ball today, like, I was jealous. I'm watching this as a Newcastle fan. I'm like, wow, I would fucking suck you off to come and play for me. Like no bullshit. Like, I'm watching Joel Willock run around and I'm just like, give me, like, this guy's unreal. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was everywhere as well. Like, the engine on him, work rate, the quality. His goal today was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he hit this ball so clean, the ball didn't spin. It just glided through the air, in, you know, and it wasn't savable. No one in the world, I think, would have got down to that. Just class, absolute class. And I have to say, being neutral, I feel sorry for Wolves. They did enough to win the game today. Like, yes, we should have had a pen. We could have had a player sent off. But the bottom line is, they did enough to win. They should have won. But while you're talking about great fucking goals, it's your boy, St. Maximin. I said last week, I was worried he would only be up for games against City. He was up for this one. He wasn't as good going forward. But when it mattered, one moment of quality. He fucking thunderfooted. Like, what a goal. Like, one of the goals of the season. Absolutely beautiful strike of the ball. Fantastic goal. 90th minute volley. Like, you know, what more do you want? It's like Roy of the Rovers shit. So I was very happy for St. Maximin. Like, he was probably our best player today. Although, you know, you can make an argument, I think Trippier had a good game. You know, and like I say, I'm happy with the draw here. These are the types of games. Like, I think Wolves is going to be a tough place to go to. I think they have a great system there. I think they've got some good players. They've got a world-class, like an elite-level player in Neves. You know, they're just one of those teams that's like, if they had like a clinical striker, maybe one other player, you know, they'd be kicking on again like they did last season and challenging at the lower end of the European places. But like Newcastle, we weren't great today. I mean, I don't think our team's that good. Like, for real, like, I still think we've got one or two players that have no right to be anywhere near a Premier League team. There's just no way. You know, like, I look at some of the players we had on the bench at the start of the squad. It's like, oh, God, that's actually horrible. Shows you how far we've got to go. I know we're trying to stay in the financial fair play rules, which is fine. Apparently, we've done that, and we're going to be fine. But at the end of the day, you know, we're still a team where Willock can still get a game. Joel Linton is still getting a game. I don't care how hard he works. He's a 40 million striker playing in defensive midfield because we're trying to justify him being at the club. I don't care how hard he works. I don't care how many tackles he makes. He can't kick a ball properly. He can't shoot. He can't pass. Like, Joel Linton, like, he's the barometer of how far Newcastle have evolved. The day we no longer have Joel Linton at the club is, you know, fantastic. And Chris Wood, like, come on, he was anonymous today. You know, players like that, they just, you know, they're not Premier League caliber. As long as they're there, you know, we're not going to be as good as what we potentially should be. And I think as well, Guimaraes was a big miss. So, you know, look, whatever, I'll take the draw. I'm happy with the draw. I think all the Toon fans should be happy with the draw. I'm happy for Saint-Maximin, first goal of the season. Let's kick on up the table. Let's see what we can do. But Wolves definitely should feel sour about what happened today, because they're in the bottom three. They're down there with Everton and Leicester. And they should have got a win today, no doubt about it. I will mention, because we've been talking about Fraud Watch, Steven Gerrard seems to be under some pressure at Villa. I'm reading between the lines a little bit here. Obviously, Villa, you know, they lost again today. West Ham got a win. It's a hotly contested game. It was very back and forth. Fornals got the result. It wasn't a high-quality game. Benrahma, again, best player for West Ham. Antonio, pretty much anonymous. Rice, not at the level he should be. But West Ham were able to grind out a result. It was like the 75th minute. It was, you know, late in the second half. Ultimately, Villa just didn't have any fire, any drive. You know, they dominated possession, but only made three shots on target. It was just insipid is the word for this Villa team. The team got booed off, and Gerrard got booed. And he did an interview afterwards, and he said, "I got two ears, and I hear a lot of things," right? Good. And he said, "I heard the fans' frustration. Last time I checked, my ears were still working. So yeah, I pick up on everything. I've been in the game long enough. If you lose three games out of four, it's not the start supporters wanted, and certainly not the start that I wanted. So of course I understand." Now the difference is, right, if you're like Bournemouth, you know, and you're getting wrecked, you understand you're in for a long season. I think if you're an Everton fan, I think Everton fans have a very realistic expectation for this season. I think they know it's going to be tough. I feel like Forest fans are just happy to be there and signing 30 players for banter. You know, they signed someone else today. But at the end of the day, like, you've spent money at Villa. You know, you were brought in with all of this pedigree from Rangers. You had an okay finish to the end of the season, you know, mid-table. You've gone backwards since then. So actually, you know, I said Lampard could be, you know, one of should be the first manager to get fired. I think that's a safe bet. Reading between the lines here, I don't know. Maybe Steven Gerrard is the ultimate fraud this season. Because it's going to be interesting. If you say something like that in an interview, that says to me that you know you're under pressure. And technically, you shouldn't be. But he's had a terrible start to the season. Only one win. And, you know, like, keep in mind, you're losing to Bournemouth. How many wins are Bournemouth going to get this season? I think Bournemouth are going to probably beat Derby's record as the worst ever Premiership team. So, you know, it's not great. And yeah, so basically the double fraud watch of the old Gerrard, you know, Frankie Stevie combo coming back into sharp focus.